we're going to read from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain in the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit.
There was a little boy. He was about 5 years old, hadn't quite gone to school yet. But he really, really wanted, really, really wanted a little brother. And so he told his dad one day, "Dad, what I really want is a little brother." And Dad paused for a moment and thought, and he says, "Well, I'll make you a deal. If you pray every day for 2 months, I think you'll get a brother." The little boy was so excited about that. He started that very night. He started praying to God, praying for a little brother, and he kept doing it day after day after day after day. After about a month of this prayer, this just hope for, he started to get a little worried because, you know, things hadn't happened yet. And so he's just wondering what's going on. So he starts talking to his neighborhood friends, and he finds that they say, "You know, that's not how babies happen. You don't just pray for 2 months and there's a baby appears." So he got a little discouraged. And at five, he quit praying. He said, "I'm not going to pray anymore then. My dad was lying to me." About a month later, his mom goes to the hospital. And after she comes home, Dad invites the little boy into the bedroom. And he says, "I want you to see something." And the little boy doesn't know what's going on exactly. He walks in and sees there's a little bundle next to his mom. And he walks up, and there is not one, but two little brothers. She had twins. So Dad comes to him, and he's just so thrilled. He says, "Aren't you glad you prayed?" And he kind of is thinking about it, and he says, "Yeah, but aren't you glad I stopped? Otherwise, how many of these things might we have?" James says, prayer is powerful and effective. Yeah? So watch out what you pray for. Prayer is powerful and effective. That's going to be a verse that we're going to hold on to in our mind's eye for the rest of the morning, and I hope the rest of our lives, quite honestly, because we, like that little five-year-old, often maybe get excited about things we're praying for, but when things don't go exactly as we want, we often find that prayer can be discouraging. Prayer is powerful and effective, but often we experience it as being very mysterious and kind of ineffectual, don't we? It becomes a struggle. We know we're invited to pray, but we feel that we are missing something in it. We know it's not rocket science, but we're frustrated by the lack of a handle that we seem to be able to get on it. So as James is wrapping up his letter, for all believers, right? And he's talking about how it is that we have a faith that really makes our life work. The next to last thing that he says has to do with getting this thing called prayer under control for us. Because prayer really isn't in our control. But we need to get a handle on what it means for us to be a praying people. Sometimes I think we all, as humans, this is common for us, that while we are made to be in communion with God, made to be connected with Him, made to be able to communicate with God through prayer, and yet sometimes prayer doesn't feel especially natural to us. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we get bored, let's be honest. Sometimes we get forgetful when we say we're going to be praying for something. Sometimes we feel inadequate, not only in speaking to God, but even in our connection. It doesn't seem to be as full as we think that it ought to be. And because of that, prayer becomes problematic. But as according to James, as he's looking at this and talking about it, he's giving us a direction that just is to be, for us, all of us, to be an encouragement to be more consistent in our prayer. We'll open that up in just a minute, because we see that consistency in prayer is what the Bible calls us to. In Acts 1:14, we are told that the early church, the disciples, once Jesus had gone, they were left behind. And what did they do? They were constantly in prayer. That becomes our pattern, our role model. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells us that we are to pray in the Spirit, not just sometimes, not just when we feel like it, but on all occasion. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we are called to rejoice always, not just when things are going our way. We are called to pray continually, not just when we have a felt need. We are called to give thanks in all circumstances, even those circumstances that we are not real happy about. But we are invited to give thanks. There is to be a consistency that kind of goes beyond the ebbs and flows of life, that goes beyond the way that our lives go, that there is to be a consistency of prayer that we are invited to find a renewed sense of strength and purpose. So what is prayer? I just was doing a little bit of work this week. Back in the 1600s, this goes way back, okay? There was something that was put out by the church. Church gathered together, and they said, we're going to have all these questions. What is the faith about? It's called the Westminster Catechism. Look it up sometime. It's really pretty interesting. And what it is a series of questions. Question number 98, for those who are curious, is what is prayer? And the way they answered it was this. They said, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement for His mercies. Now this begins to help us a little bit, I think, as we think a little more fully about what prayer is. That this becomes not just, oh God, help me. Now, that is a prayer and it's valid. But there's more to prayer than that. It's not just listening to God, because it is inviting us to bring our desires before Him. But not just our selfish desires. These are the desires that we want to bring to Him and join Him in the midst of His will. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Part of that pattern of prayer that Jesus gave His disciples. So we recognize that this is, it's more than just asking God for stuff. But we get it wrong, don't we? You know, I remember, because I know when we were, you know, you probably, me and Mia, like, we often get mixed up with our prayer. We think that prayer's got to be the right words to be effective, or maybe the right posture to be effective. And we see the Bible doesn't give us any hints that that is actually true, but we feel that way. I remember when we were younger, when the kids were younger, I should say, that we were, you know, teaching them about prayer. We would pray before our meals. And one day we were out to lunch with my dad. My dad came down, took us out to lunch. I think Andy may have been in kindergarten or first grade. I think we probably got him out of school to come. But we were having lunch with my dad. Aunt Daniel's probably a preschooler at this time. And we were over at Foster Freeze. And so we pray before we eat our burgers. And as we pray, as we say amen, first thing that comes out of Daniel's mouth, Papa didn't have his eyes closed. My dad, very quick on his feet always, says, well, Daniel, how do you know I didn't have my eyes closed? Eyes closed, eyes open. Does that make our prayer effective? No. I know people who have a great time praying when they're in the car, they're traveling. You know, I'm glad. I hope they're doing it with their eyes open. You know, but people find that it's a good time. It's quiet. You're away from, say you're coming home from work. You've got some time just to be with the Lord in the car, and you can do that. But you don't need to be closing your eyes or bowing your head. Keep your eyes on the road and talk to the Lord. Jesus said there are some things that make our prayers ineffective. I just want to touch on that real quick. For effective prayer, but let's talk about some ineffective ways. Don't pray, he said, in order to be seen by other people. Don't pray trying to impress others. This comes out of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He says that if they do that, if you go and say all these beautiful words, and so everyone sees you and says, wow, that guy is such a great prayer, that's the wrong motive, if that's what your motive is. So don't pray in order to try to impress people. Now, I find that most people don't do that. Most people aren't going around trying to impress people by their prayer ability. But a lot of us are hesitant on the flip side of this coin. We're hesitant to pray because we're afraid others will not be impressed by our inability to articulate well. Anyone feel that way? Praying in public becomes intimidating because others are hearing you and you don't want to sound bad before them. It's really the same issue, but it's on the flip side. So he is inviting us not to be afraid of or be concerned with what others think. We don't pray to impress them. We don't have to fear not impressing them because the prayer is not for them. The prayer is our connection with our Heavenly Father. Okay, another way that we are told in James, actually a little bit earlier in the book, it talks about this idea that we are not to pray simply for our selfish desires. That yes, we are to bring what's going on and bring it to God. It's not just about what we want. Again, that idea of on earth as in heaven, let your will be done. This idea that we are invited to join God in the midst of what God is doing. So that part of our prayer should be, yeah, this is what's going on in my life, but maybe even asking God, God, how should I even pray about it? What should I even desire? How can I meet you in the midst of what's going on? This feels horrible to me, or this is difficult for me. Help show me how I can even respond, rather than trying to tell God what he needs to do in order to make me happy. You see, again, that becomes an ineffective prayer when we are trying to control God, to bend him to my will, that becomes ineffective. And James says, no, we are to pray about what we need. Yes, pray for that daily bread. That's part of what we are to pray for. But not just getting my way. And three, and finally, yeah, the prayer of the righteous person is very powerful in its effect, or it is powerful and effective, because that is what we are really wanting after. What James says here, ultimately, we're going to just hone in again. What Val read for us this morning, the point of what he says here is we are to pray. You know, there was an advertising campaign a few years ago, Nike. Anyone ever hear of Nike? Yeah? Okay. What was it? Of course, everyone knows it's just do it. That's what it is. And that's really what James says here for us. That we want to pray right, but what we really want to do more than anything is pray. So if you're struggling with prayer, feeling you're not doing it right, or praying because you don't think you're getting the right results, or struggling with prayer because God feels far away, the answer is always going to be this: pray. Hear it again. If any one of you is in trouble, what should they do? There you go. If things are going well, what should you do? Pray. If someone is sick, what should you do? Are you getting the pattern here? It doesn't take long. You see this repetition. It is over and over and over again. He talks about no matter what that circumstance is, no matter what's going on around you, we are invited to prayer because there is something going on here. I think this is the key. This is the key. Is there something going on here? I want to call it the attitude of first response. Attitude of first response is this. It's not so much worried about if you're getting your words right, or getting God to do what you want him to do. Those aren't the questions. The attitude of first response. What is your reaction to any and all these circumstances? What is your reaction when you're hurting, when you're fearful, when you're discouraged? What is your reaction when you're celebrating, when you're happy, when things are going your way? What is your reaction when someone around you is hurting, when they're sick, when they are in need of help? What is your reaction when things in the world are out of place, they're amiss, and they're going the wrong direction? What is your response? What is your first response? The attitude of first response should be this, that in all the situations, we come and we lift it to God. We say, God, help me. God, move in a way that I can sense, but even if you don't, move. God, thank you. God, I praise you. God, I lift them. God, I pray for Your will on earth as in heaven. God, help me to be a part of meeting you in that and joining you there. This becomes the attitude of first response. And that is what he is lifting up. And he says, here's an example, Elijah. For all the things in Elijah's story, if you want to read about Elijah, it's in 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. He was an Old Testament character. All the readers of James originally would have known exactly what he's talking about. And he said, Elijah had incredibly effective prayer. He said, no rain for 3 years. And then when he prayed for rain, it came. But he did that because he heard the Lord tell him what to pray for. He says, let them know who's in charge. Pray for no rain. And there was no rain. And then God said, Elijah, pray for rain so that I can send it. Elijah listened to God. Didn't just pray what he wanted. Listened to God. And it says Elijah was a human just like we are. That power of that kind of dependence on God is available to all of us. It's not something that is only for those superstars like Elijah. It is for all of us to say that we're going to try to see, we're going to pray for this attitude of first response. And let it come. Let it be. You know, so on a week where you lose your dog, you're sad. The response is, what is it? Pray, okay? On an evening when your neighbor drives crazy and lands in your front yard, what's my response? Prayer. But it's that response, no matter what. Is anyone among you in trouble? Pray. Is anyone happy? Praise. Same thing. Is anyone hurting? Look around. Is anyone hurting around you? Oh, yeah. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's the person next to you. Maybe it's your loved one. Maybe it's your family member. Maybe it's your neighbor. This is our invite. Attitude of first response, bring it to him. He can do the work. It's that connection with him so that every instance, every situation, instead of sending us off the cliff, draws us closer to him. Because in that closer to him is the power and the effectiveness of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this invitation. Lord, we ask that you would remove from us all the impediments that we allow to be barriers between us and you. We pray, God, that you would draw us nearer, that in each of the circumstances that we are walking through today, that we would be able to lift it to you, and God, we would come to know you better through that circumstance, whether it be a good time, whether it be a difficult time. God, we would come to see you and rely on you all the more. Father, we thank you that you invite us in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our discouragement or confusion, to come and to pray, to find you there with us all along. Father, we thank you for all those moments of celebration, of high times, of good that we get to celebrate in this life. And we thank you that you too are still in the midst of all of that. Help us to give you thanks. Father, for those moments where we do not know what it is that we are called to do, Lord, help us to rest, help us to wait, help us to listen and find that you will open those doors and reveal those steps for us. We thank you for your goodness, and we ask you would meet us here this morning. as we come to rest all the more completely in you. In Jesus' name, amen.